Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Jefferson County Commissioners Court meeting for Tuesday, March 8th, 2022. If you feel led to rise, we'll begin our meeting with an invocation led by Commissioner Bush, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance led by Commissioner Sinegal.
Please bow with me. Father, we come to you today asking for your divine guidance as we conduct the business of our county. We thank you so much for life itself, and we pray for the health and safety of the citizens and employees of Jefferson County. Lord, we also pray for the people in the Ukraine, and we ask for your, just place your hand on them, Lord, and support them and help them as they go through this terrible, terrible tragedy. Lord, we ask that you look after all our first responders. We pray that you lead, guide, and direct us in all the decisions we make today. In Jesus' holy name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we'll begin our agenda today a little bit out of order under County Commissioners. Item A is considering possibly approve a proclamation for the Save Our Children Reading and Love Matters Appreciation Banquet. Do I have a motion on that item?
Second.
Been moved by Commissioner Alford, seconded by Commissioner Pierce. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. And Pastor Roberts, would you like to come to the podium? And I'll read this proclamation, which says, whereas at SOC's Children in Motion, Inc., 16th Annual Appreciation Banquet will be held on Thursday, April 14th. Whereas the purpose of the SOC Save Our Children, along with its sponsor partners and interested individuals, is to help, love, and educate the children in our community in their elementary and secondary levels of education. And whereas since 2003, SOC has helped nurture nearly 12,000 young people to foster a greater interest in learning. And whereas SOC provides tutoring services and in-school aid, reading and counseling programs, as well as fun events for its students, and Save Our Children, through its continued partnership with local educators, elected officials, and community leaders, provides a wonderful learning environment for its students. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Commissioners Court of Jefferson County hereby proclaim April 14th as SOC Reading and Love Matters Day in Jefferson County, and we also urge all people to attend their banquet and offer their services and gifts in support of the SOC effort to serve and help our children. Signed this day by the members of the Commissioner's Court. Pastor Robert.
First of all, I'd like to thank God, because God is the reason for every season. And I'd like to thank you, the Commissioners, for your continued support in helping us do what we do. It's not easy out there. And law enforcement are doing all they can do, but the people of Jefferson County can do more to help them in their efforts to curb the crime and everything else that we have going on. Learning is real big now, especially reading. And we must continue to enhance our kids to do just that, to study and be approved, not only by their peers, but by themselves. So again, Commissioners, I'd like to thank you for this honor, and I'm very touched.
Thank you so much. All right, we'll begin with items under purchasing. Item A is to consider and approve specifications for invitation for bid for taxiway A rehabilitation at the Jack Brooks Regional Airport. That project is to be funded by the Federal Aviation Administration Airport Improvement Program grant number 39 to the airport. The bid due date and time on that is 11 o'clock a.m. on April 6, 2022. April 6, 2022 at 11 a.m. is the bid due date and time. Item B is consider and approve specifications for an IFB for drainage improvements for drainage ditch number 110B under the CDBG Disaster Recovery Community Development Block Grant Program pursuant to Chapter 262 of the Texas Local Government Code of the County Purchasing Act and 2 Code of Federal Regulations, Section 200.318 through 326. Which project is intended to be funded by the CDBG Disaster Recovery through the Texas General Land Office and is pending the authorization for use of funds. Item C is consider and approve award, execute, receive, and file a contract for request for statements of qualifications for engineering services for drainage improvements for the Crane Bio Pump Station building and generators with Freeze and Nichols, Inc. for an amount that shall not exceed $226,217 pursuant to Chapter 262 of the Texas Local Government Code, the County Purchasing Act, and 2 Code of Federal Regulations, Section 200.318-326. Funding for that project is by the Texas General Land Office through the GLO contract 20-0651-21C408, with any additional cost over the budgeted GLO grant funds for this project to be funded by the Jefferson County Drainage District Number 7 per our interlocal agreement. Item D is consider and approve cancellation of the Texas Realtors commercial lease between Aztec Assets LLC and Jefferson County for the property located at 5550 East Texas Freeway, effective March 31st, 2022, where the counties in Southeast Texas operated an infusion center in response to COVID-19. Item E is consider and approve a full survey, tile improvements, and encroachment for the county's property located behind the former LL Melton facility with Saltech surveyors and engineers for a cost not to exceed $2,200. Do we have a motion on those items under purchasing?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Senegal, seconded by Commissioner Bush. Any discussion?
I have a question on D. That was our lease. Do we have a pro-racial rate in that?
Well, it was originally entered into to be paid by all the four Southeast Texas counties, Orange, Hardin, Jasper, and Jefferson, based on populations to operate the infusion center, had a 30-day out clause. Whenever we received notice from the state, we sent a notice of intent to opt out. And so we will pay through March 31st, which I think we've actually already paid.
I think we were paying middle of the month.
Well, we have the mark. I mean, yes, we're paying through March.
From the 15th through the 30th?
We'll
31st, excuse me.
30. We'll have to prorate that portion.
Gotcha. Did I answer it, Commissioner?
Okay. I assume that we have a setup where when we final up the bills, everybody have their share in all of this, right?
Yeah, once it's all finalized, we'll send out the sharing of the bill.
No, he's in training at the Beaumont EOC this week, he and Robert.
He sent an email sometime back, and he couldn't answer the question I asked before. It was in reference to how many clients from Jefferson County. And the judge said about the population of each county that's participating. I guess that's the basic fact, instead of the number of clients that's going to them.
Yeah, they came back and said that they, Ashbritt, who was, so we were paying for the building, Texas Division of Emergency Management was paying for Ashbritt, which I think was hundreds of thousands of dollars a week. And Ashbritt, who was a contractor providing all the nurses and everything, said that they could not tell us, that they didn't keep track of who was from what county when they were given the infusions. But
so we don't have to worry about cash with that, because we will not be going into any of our funding to pay for that. Am I hearing that?
The funding we're going into has been the Rescue Plan Act.
Correct.
Yeah, we're using that, and then we're going to get reimbursed for that portion that applies to those other entities that agreed to join into it.
Okay.
So we've been actually fronting the money. The county has, and then we're going to ask for reimbursement.
Which brings up another question. Is there a public assistance request that's going to be filed on that?
With our public assistance request, we have some already with COVID. I can tell you it is very onerous to get those transactions approved, we can look into that. But the simplest route, to put it bluntly, is to go through the rescue plan money.
All right. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under county auditor, we have five items. Item A is consider and approve a budget transfer for the county judge for replacement of two computers in the amount of $3,402. Item B is consider and possibly approve withdrawing ditch 10.
Table.
Table.
Table A?
Table B.
B.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Item C is consider and approve amended Exhibit A for the interlocal agreement with Drainage District Number 7 for the Crane Biogenerator Project funded by the Community Development Block Grant Disaster Recovery Infrastructure Fund. Item D is consider and approve a budget amendment for the nurse practitioner, provide a supplement pay of $500 a month for COVID testing oversight and other health matters to the nurse practitioner position. And item E is regular county bills, check numbers 492761 through 492999. Do we have a motion on those items?
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Bush and seconded by Commissioner Pierce. Discussion.
Discussion would be on D with me, Judge.
Okay.
We have always, and you kind of go back with this one, Judge Walker was here, we have always had numbers brought to our attention to show things to the magnitude. I asked Patrick to run numbers. I haven't seen those numbers, but of course, you know, I went out and ran some numbers on some other nurses that are essential. And those numbers show some tremendous numbers. I haven't seen the numbers. And there's three persons in this department. I'm not understanding it. And we're doing it out of time. I'm not understanding it. And I have a major problem with it. But this one vote, I can tell you right now, my vote is no, and it's because of principles, and we haven't seen numbers, and that's facts.
Okay, so those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, and those opposed?
No.
Okay, ayes have it. Moving on to county commissioners, item A is to consider possibly approve proclamation of...
Oh, we already done that.
Item B is to receive and file oath of office and statement of officer for Rich Corville, who last week was appointed commissioner for Jefferson County Emergency Services District Number 3. Item C is to consider possibly approve an authorized county judge to execute a contract for services between the Potts Law Firm and Jefferson County regarding litigation against Symmetry Energy Solutions and its affiliate company related to the utility billing cost at Ford Park Entertainment Complex in the February 2021 winter storm. And item D is consider possibly approve an authorized county judge to execute agreement between Jefferson County Commissioners Court and Lamar University for set cast video of Commissioners Court meetings. Do I have a motion on those items?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Alford, seconded by Commissioner Pierce. Any discussion?
This is the only discussion I have. Please forward to me the contract for SETCAST. I hadn't seen it.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under engineering, item A is consider and possibly approve a replat of lots 8, 9, and 10 and a portion of lot 41 of the Gandhi addition described in volume 7, page 94 of the map records of Jefferson County, Texas, into lot 8A and lot 10A. Property is located off of Gordon Road in precinct number 3. The plat is not within any ETJ and has met all of the Jefferson County's platting requirements. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner
Senegal,
seconded by Commissioners Bush and Alford. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under Sheriff's Department, we have two items. A is consider and approve a donation of K-9 ballistic vests for the Sheriff's Office with Vested Interested K-9s Incorporated, which will cover 100% of the cost. That donation is pursuant to Section 81.032 of the Texas Local Government Code. Item B is consider and possibly approve the U.S. Department of Justice, United States Marshal Service Modification Number 20 of the current Intergovernmental Agreement 78-01-0077. purpose of this modification is to adjust the current per diem rate. Do I have a motion on those two?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded by Commissioners Pierce and Alford. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. And that completes our regular agenda. We now have a time of public comment. If individuals are present virtually, you may press star 6 to unmute your line. If you're present in court, wish to make public comment, you may come to the lectern and introduce yourself.
Good morning, Judge Braniff, commissioners, staff, and community. My name is Ava Graves. I'm the Jefferson County Democratic Party chair. But this morning, I'm here speaking on the behalf of the 149,000-plus voters of Jefferson County to commend you and the staff and Lori and her team on your support and making sure, specifically for our vote-by-mail ballot voters, that they were able to be contacted up until Election Day, even as recent as yesterday, if their ballots were sent back or there was any corrections needed, they were given the opportunity to be cured. There was some pushback with that process. That happens in systems. But there was also reconciliation and resolve. And so what I want to communicate this morning is we appreciate your leadership. I appreciate your leadership. Thank you, Commissioner Senegal. Thank you, Commissioner Alford. Lori, thank you and your team. You worked diligently. Even at times there was tension, there was conflict, but there was also moments of resolve and even hugging it out. So I'd like to just say to our voters out there that we are working on your behalf. Sometimes when there are tense moments, that does not mean war. That means opportunity for growth. And I'm so appreciative of Lori and her staff. And also I want to acknowledge our Democratic presiding judge for the EVBB, John Stafford, and the Republican presiding judge, Ms. Carr, worked together collectively and fair. And so we're very appreciative of that. And I think that all of our voters, not just Republicans, not just Democrats, all of our voters need to know that you have advocates working on their behalf for a fair process, and we have leadership that supports that fair process. And I just wanted to offer my appreciation. Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Gray, for that. But, Lori, I have a question. I had a vote, and it's not a question. They posed it to me as a question, and I want to know if it's a way we can help. This was one of the individuals that received a mail ballot back. He's up in age, 90-something. He came up here, talked to somebody in your office, and he wanted to leave his ballot because of the driver's license, and he couldn't leave it. Couldn't drop it in a box. Is that accurate with this new legislation?
It depends on what day it was, and I'm happy to call that voter and find out exactly how that happened. I'm happy to do that.
But we do have it where they could leave.
Yes.
I thought it was. I was just making sure. He is an advocate listening to us and watching us on television. And I said I would have asked.
Sure. I'm happy to call him. I'll get his name from
you. I will give you his number.
And I also want to just reiterate how proud I am of our staff. I thank Ms. Graves for her compliments. She may see things a little differently than I. I did not see any conflict with resolving the situation to call voters. The issue was on timing and when that was going to happen. And we were able to call voters toward the end of all of this process. We've learned a lot, and we're going to be working to come up with some recommended policies for the early voting ballot board. I'm real proud of our staff and how all this worked out as smoothly as it did in light of the new legislation, which created issues for our voters to try to fill out the forms. It's complicated, But at the end of the day, I think it assures every vote, legal vote, will count. And when people came up to the counter or came to our office concerned about that, the reason why we're asking, why the law is asking for ID numbers, and when you explain to them the process, they understood it and they were appreciative that the voter would be recognized as that person. So our staff is meeting right now this afternoon with CCS to complete the process, and so we should know more late this afternoon.
Two questions. One, how many ballots we had problems with, do we know?
Yes, I have those numbers for you. These are still, there may be a slight change in some of these as the day goes on, but first of all, we sent out around 2,100 ballots were mailed out. Of the 2,100, around 1,920 were Democrat ballots and 195 were Republican. Of those ballots we sent out, we received a total of 1,671 ballots, of which around 1,515 were Democrat and 156 were Republican. In other words, there are around 400 ballots that just never came back to us. People never filled them out. Of those 1,600 ballots, around 500 were sent back to be cured, or about 31% of those ballots were sent back to be cured. And of the 500, around 200 were rejected, and the remainder, 300, were accepted. On those rejections, some came back not cured again. Some never came back. You know, we had a lot of that. We did have people surrender ballots at the polling locations, or call and cancel their ballots and then vote provisionally. So those are the numbers on our ballots, which I think, we've read in the newspaper about some other counties that had a 40% rejection rate or return rate on those ballots. And ours was 31%. So, and I really do believe it's our staff. I'm new at this. Our elections manager is a year in the process, never done a primary before, but the rest of the staff is experienced, even our part-time people, and they just were wonderful. So, any other questions on that?
Last question I had was, I know we were talking up here earlier, we were supposed to have a 3:00, and I think it's been canceled.
It's a primary, and I'm sorry y'all did not get that notice. We realized last Thursday that you all did not need to canvass this, that it's canvassed by the parties. So I apologize that I didn't get that correction out to you. We caught it before it went through an agenda item, and I just assumed that it would not even be on your calendar. So I'm sorry that we didn't get back with you. Round the circle on that.
This is the first time we've did that, huh?
I was just, our election manager said okay. That it will be canvassed by the parties.
Okay.
Is that something that we're going to do from here on out?
No, it's just because it's a primary. It's their election.
We have to run off elections in this primary then.
We will, yes. And that will be May 24th. And then we have another election on May 7th that will be your all's election. You know, it's a statewide proposition election, and we're joined by the city of Port Arthur, Port Arthur ISD, and Sabine Neches Waterway on the May 7th election. And we'll turn around and have the May 24th runoff for this primary. And once again, that will be managed by the parties. And then if we have a runoff from the Port Arthur mayor's race, that will be in June. And then we have the general election in November, which I hope we will have new equipment for.
Yeah. So from here on, we will not be canvassing the primary?
It's my understanding that the parties canvass the primaries.
I mean, but did you get that from the Secretary of State or from who?
Yes, that's that all primaries are like that. The last primary was 2018.
Right.
So
you canvassed the vote.
We did.
You did canvass the vote?
Yeah.
Okay, and I have a list of questions I'll email you. I think you answered quite a few of them in your detailed memo that you read earlier, but I have a list of questions I'll be forwarding you.
Okay.
And if you can get those answers back to me.
I will.
And also, now that the election is over, the people that did not return their ballots, are we privy to that list?
Yes, but every day when we received ballots, their names and addresses were posted on our website of all the ones that we received. The rejected people, we can get that list. They are being mailed letters of explaining to them why their ballots were rejected. And I can get that list.
I'd like to have that list and the list of people that did not return it after they did not cure their ballot and send it back in after the election.
Okay. I'll see. What they're going to come up under is rejected. Okay. So we'll try to figure out through there.
Please send that to me.
Okay.
Judge,
good job.
Anything further?
Judge, I have something. I was in that voting center the other night, and I can't say enough good about what I saw in there. Lori's folks did an excellent job. I learned a lot that I always knew it was a detailed process in counting those votes, but I didn't realize how detailed it was till I actually saw it. And everybody knew their job, they knew their place, they knew what they were doing. Everybody but me, you know, knew what was going on. But I learned a lot, and they were very, very cordial and very helpful to explain stuff to me as well. But I was very impressed and there to be commended. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I think I mentioned earlier when we had an agenda item on the issue that our regional infusion center will be closing on Friday. There was a point, unfortunately, during the process when we were in Jefferson County having 300 to 400 new positive cases every day. And thankfully, we were down over the last 4 days to, you know, 2 1 day, 3 another day, 4 1 day. And so I think we had a total of 14 cases over the last 4 days that and so the people at the infusion center were not seeing any patients, and the Texas Division of Emergency Management felt it best to close it. We have been working through emergency management with TDM and the Department of State Health Services to assure that the monoclonal antibody infusion therapies are transferred to our local hospitals and then to any private practitioners that want to do infusions. And so there will still be an abundant supply of the material locally. And for those individuals who get COVID, who desire the infusion or it's recommended to them by their physician, they'll check with your family physician or your health care provider, and they can give you a referral to one of the local groups that will be doing that, which will be all three of the major hospitals plus some private providers. So there should not be any disruption in the availability of that medication as we move forward. We're just thankful that the numbers are down so dramatically and hopefully going to disappear very soon.
Judge, if I could just quickly mention that today, this morning, a lot of people mentioned that there were issues with the elevator trying to come here, and there was an issue with one of the elevators. They have repaired it. It's back in operation, just trying to save anybody from hitting the stairs.
Thank you.
Partner.
All right, anything else? If not, thank you all for being here today. We are adjourned.